Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari. Tonight, storytelling.
I really think that her ability to tell stories so well really helped me and my brothers and sisters connect and form this bond.
They would tell us about our culture and our background and who my great-grandfather was. He was an imam. And
storytelling is the conveying of events in words and images, often by improvisation and embellishment. Stories or narratives have been shared in every culture as a means of entertainment, education, culture preservation, and instilling moral values. That is, according to Wikipedia.com. And as usual, Let's Talk, we'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show my colleague, Ayan. Welcome aboard.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
And of course, over the phone, we have host of Celebrity Health Talk. Thank you. Fatmata Koroma. Welcome aboard, Fatmata.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, is storytelling a means for sharing, interpreting experiences? Stories are universal in that they can bridge cultural, linguistic, and age-related divides. Storytelling can be adaptive for all ages, leaving out the notion of age segregation. Well, storytelling can be used as a method to teach ethics, values, and cultural norms and differences. Well, I spoke to Freddie, a Yali fellow from Kenya, and I wanted to know his take.
Storytelling over time has always taken a role in shaping people, in shaping individuals, in shaping communities, particularly my community, the Maasai, that I come from. And I believe it is the same way in every traditional African society. Storytelling and oral narrative has always been one way where generation to generation transfer knowledge, transfer the culture, retain that culture, probably making opportunities out of their communities through that culture and storytelling. When I was growing up, we used to sit around the fire with our grandmothers, telling us stories, folk tales, that used to conserve the environment. The Maasai are very, very good to the environment, very friendly, I would say so. And one of the stories was, there is an indigenous forest adjacent to my village, a big, big forest. Actually, one of the largest indigenous forests in East Africa. It's Narok, Kenya. It is in the south of Narok, bordering Kenya and Tanzania, and it's called Naimina Engiyo. Naimina Engiyo is
Narkiyo.
Naminengiyo is, in translation, the forest of the lost child. This story of the lost child was created to scare away children and other people from getting into the forest to destroy their forest. So the story goes like, in short, in one paragraph, that there's this child who went into the forest and never came back because, one, she went breaking the branches of a particular sacred plant. So the moment she broke the branch, she just disappeared. She never came back. So that is used to scare children from getting into the forest and destroy plants. The other is ogresses. We are told they are ogresses. One ogress with a wooden side and another, and the other side is flesh. So you are told that ogress, you don't know which side, even if you try to kill it. So you won't get into the forest because you don't know whether the ogress will kill you. That's used to conserve the forest. And up to today, if you get into that forest and you happen to get a bark of the tree, either to treat an illness, you have to go back to that tree and smear cow dung and some milk to just appease the gods of the forest. That
really? That's how it works?
Right now as physic. Mm-hmm. As much as there is that aspect of storytelling, there are realities to it. People practice it, like breaking branches. You have to put the treat the scar of that tree, if you happen to. And you see, this is used to conserve particular species considered either sacred or used for medicinal purposes. So storytelling has a big, big role in not only shaping communities, but conserving our environment.
Now, do you think the coming of technology, I don't know about the Maasai with technology now, you can tell me, but is that maybe changing the storytelling business, or is it affecting the storytelling process at all in our communities?
The coming in of it is mind-blowing negative energy against storytelling.
Really? Okay.
Why is that?
People have started writing stories of, let's say, other things like looking at now the, let's say, Google search for, let's say, one particular musician. And, of course, one disadvantage of our oral traditions that we never recorded. So no one would Google and tell them. You know? So you'll get what you want. Google in, Google out. So that's whatever they'll get from the internet now dilutes their mind.
Thank you, Freddie Eyali Fellow from Kenya. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing storytelling. Back to the studio. Just wanted to hear from you, Ayan. I don't know where you grew up, but for me, where I grew up as a kid, I would listen to my aunt at night, my grandmother, before I go to bed when they visit us. And my aunt actually was the greatest storyteller ever. And she gave us so many good stories. And I also remember a radio show that was for kids. It was just storytelling. Because at that time, when I grew up, there was no TV in mainland Tanzania. There was only in the islands of Zanzibar, but not mainland Tanzania. So radio was the only thing. And we could be there every Saturday just to listen to those stories. And these stories, I can't believe how I enjoyed just listening to the stories. And that made me myself a storyteller. I guess I love stories. Yeah. But anyway, you tell me what experience with storytelling.
I had a very similar experience. I grew up in Nairobi. We also didn't have a TV.
Okay.
But fortunately for us, our mom is a phenomenal storyteller.
Wow.
And I really think that her ability to tell stories so well really helped me and my brothers and sisters connect and form this bond, because we would just sit around in the living room and just hear her tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really therapeutic sort of experience. It makes sense why, you know, moms and dads tell their kids stories right before bedtime, because it's a therapeutic experience. And what I remember most about storytelling is my mom's voice.
Okay.
And just listening to her and her voice taking me to a different world. So regardless what the story was, I just remembered her almost, her voice is like a vortex. Like, it just takes me to a completely different world, a completely different place. And growing up, you know, we weren't really rich. We weren't poor, but we definitely weren't rich. We struggled at times to get food in our mouth and to make sure that we were safe. But as soon as my mom opened her mouth and gathered us together, we would sort of forget about the outside world, and we would just concentrate
on
that story.
Wow.
So I have a very, very, very rich experience.
Wow.
In that, thanks to my mom.
Oh yes, thanks to her. Mata, tell me about your story.
Unfortunately, I did not grow up in Sierra Leone. I grew up in the United States.
Okay.
So I did grow up with all the amenities, such as television and things like that. But in order to maintain my culture, my family always told me stories about things in Africa. I can't say it was made up, just like storytelling events, but it was kind of, you don't know, because you hear a lot of different parables, fables, things like that. You're not sure if it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mysteries in Africa that you only hear from African parents or African friends, you know. So those are the type of stories that I heard that helped me connect to Sierra Leone and the people.
Right.
So, and even my family, like, we get together. I'm a portion of my background is Fulani.
Fulani, okay.
And Islam, not Islam, but I do have a portion of that
mm-hmm.
side, and they're mainly the Fulahs are mainly Islamic, and they would tell us about our background and our culture.
Mm.
You know, more than any of my other different components of my family. I have a lot of mixture and tribal mixtures. So they would just make it a point to tell us about who we are, you know, some of the older uncles and things like that. Every time we get together as a group, you know, because we have a large family.
Okay.
You know, they would tell us about our culture and our background and who my great-grandfather was. He was an imam and things like that. So they always made a point to tell us about ourselves. So, so basically, okay. I don't know if that's considered storytelling, like, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I did, you know, my family, my mother, she likes to talk to her kids and tell us about things. And she would sit for hours and tell us things, you know, as a group. Even now we get together, you know, prayer groups and probably tell us things, storytelling about things in Africa and Sierra Leone experiences.
Okay.
So I don't know if that falls in that category, but we did have rich conversation.
Right.
No.
Okay.
So, or we still do.
Exactly. So it's not the stopping. It's a continuation. It's something that's going on every day.
Yeah.
Okay. Storytelling is a topic today. So many interesting views and so many questions. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
This is our moment. Together with footballers like Steven Pienaar, we are speaking out to end malaria.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Let's do it.
United, we can beat malaria. The best footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Join with leaders like President Sirleaf.
Malaria stops footballers from scoring and students from learning.
And join with footballer Didier Drogba.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
United, we can beat malaria.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in our Washington studio with Ayan and Fatimata. Right now, we are discussing storytelling.
And this is what I'm always asking people. Do you think storytelling has evolved in one way or the other? Because as you say, Ayan, we grew up in a situation whereby you only listen to someone talking to you about stories. But these days, we have all these gadgets, we have all these computerized IT and all these new things that come into the world right now. And kids are not, maybe in America or like for the matter grew up, they're not having the kind of storytelling that we experienced when growing up. Now, is this an evolvement that makes it even better for them? Or you think this is like not a very good thing for storytelling?
I think you're right. I think that storytelling has evolved for sure.
Okay.
And I think that it has evolved for the good and not for the worse.
Okay.
I am addicted to listening to stories.
Mm.
Of course, I listen to Voice of America, but I also listen to This American Life. I listen to Radiolab. I listen to another podcast called Love and Radio.
Okay.
And all they do is tell stories.
Really?
So yes. Let me just revise my statement and say, mm-hmm. the way that we have stories offered to us has changed. So we have a lot of different avenues to
mm-hmm.
get stories.
To get stories. Okay.
But storytelling in itself has not changed, because within storytelling, the person speaking has to figure out a way to connect to you, and then they also have to present a story that's captivating. That is consistent. That has to be consistent. It wouldn't be storytelling if that aspect wasn't in there.
Right.
But we have different avenues to get our stories now, and I think that that is really, really good.
Okay, that's a good thing right there. And I think that's where the, as you say, the art and the entertainment part of the story, I think is where how one conveys that to you. Okay, well said. Yes, Fatimata, what do you think on your part?
I think storytelling is important. it's important because, like she said, also where her mother spent that quality time with her, and even families, they spent that quality time without, you know, the television and internet and things like the kids and the parents are preoccupied with what's going on out there and where they don't spend that quality time family-wise with the storytelling. So I think that is very, it was very important then, and even if your family continues to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the storytelling now in this era is more of maybe people in our culture, let's say they may put funny videos up and tell stories, depict things that go on in our community or in Africa that we can relate to, and it tells a story.
Okay.
You know, so I think kind of that's kind of how it's more modern and more. I think we more, instead of our family doing it more or parents, it's more of people, our peers. So unless you have a family that still do that, and probably in the continent, because Sierra Leone, where I live, it's very, where I'm from, is very family-oriented. We're very, like, close, and we still, as we speak, not many people have that many TVs in their home.
Right.
And people still gather to do social activities instead of staying at home and watching TV, like, or in the U.S., you know, I grew up being glued to the TV a lot because that was there and our parents have to work. But in Sierra Leone, it's not like that. It's still more of people sitting around, maybe listening to the radio or having conversations or talking. I think that's on the continent. Over here in diaspora, it's a little bit different.
Right.
When I go back home, I don't watch much TV. Normally, it's more of socialization, hanging out, picnics, beach fun, you know, all that community activities. And here, I think we kind of still tell stories in the, you know, in the arts and entertainment through comedy. You see a lot. I see a lot of those memes and, you know, people doing comedy or that we can relate to. Pretty much keep a sense of who we are as in the African community or where we're from or the African culture.
Storytelling for indigenous cultures of the Americas is used or was used as an oral form of language associated with practices and values essential to developing one's identity. Okay? So this is because everyone in the community can add on their touch and perspective to the narrative. But is oral storytelling differing from other forms of stories because they are told not only for entertainment but for teaching values? Well, I spoke to Yahya Mungilo from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and I wanted to know his take.
Yes, it has played quite a lot in my life because, those things we used to sit around with our aunties, sometimes mothers. Yes, they taught us quite a lot of stuff that we learned, and they take us who we are today.
Okay. And tell me something, when you remember growing up, especially when you were a kid maybe, sitting around the corner, as you said, your auntie, your mother, what kind of stories you think gave you some kind of a direction or shaped you a little bit today?
Okay, there was this story they used to tell us. Okay, it's mostly my auntie.
Mm-hmm.
She used to say we should live together in harmony with brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
and also our neighbors.
Right.
Yeah, and also helping each other in whatever we do.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, up to now, I remember that story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the motive was that we were supposed to live together, love each other, and, of course, do things together. That's how we could succeed in most of the things that we would want to do in life.
Wow. Storytelling is something, isn't it?
And you get to see this when you grow up, but
yeah.
Then you get to really learn and see, oh well, that what you said was the truth, and it really happened in real life.
I know.
And yet you just think when you're young, you just think it's just a story.
Oh, you know, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, man. You're right, man. And when we grow up again, we tend up to make sure we do the same thing to our own children, making sure we relay some stories to them as well.
That's for sure.
That's for sure, man. That's for sure. Tell me something, Yahya. You remember what kind of places where you used to listen to stories? Is this some, like, for most of us growing up, there was no television. So storytelling took a very big chunk of our time. But I know now most children are sitting down watching TV all day, you know? Don't you think that has changed a lot for our children today?
Yeah, you know, when you're growing up, there wasn't time for TV. You know, before you go to bed and you'd be gathering around with the rest of the crew, everyone around, mm-hmm. listening to aunties, uncles, or okay, mostly aunties and mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we didn't have that much time on to watch TV, so we just sit there, listen to stories, and we really used to enjoy them
mm-hmm.
very, very much. Yeah.
It's unlike
the kids of nowadays where they just watch TV, cartoons, and the like. And, some of them are teaching them quite a lot.
Right.
I figure that hearing it from the parents or from the auntie, like the way we used to, it brings in your mind for quite a long time.
Thank you, Yahya Mungilwa from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing storytelling. Back to the studio. Fatmata.
I think that kind of how that translated somewhat is a little bit different. You don't really call it storytelling, but, you know, it's more, it gives us it's a story, depiction, and images of our culture. So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say the storytelling is just as effective as the storyteller. So if you have a storyteller who is not very good at connecting with you in a personal way, then the story itself is not going to be good either. So I just wanted to make that point clear because in my family, it was my mom. My mom had a way of connecting with us in a very intimate way. My dad, on the other hand, is really bad at telling stories, and you know he goes back and forth and he loses us, and he just never figured out a way to pull us in and draw us in.
Okay.
So right now in the modern age where, you know, I have my podcast, mm-hmm. I have my TV, I have the internet, I have a lot of different avenues to get these stories, I still gravitate to those stories that affect me personally. And you know, I mentioned before This American Life and Radiolab, and I think that these people are professional storytellers, and so that's why I go to them.
Okay.
My mom as well is a professional storyteller, and that's why I go to her. So to me, it doesn't matter if I'm sitting at home on my couch listening to my mom face-to-face or if I'm sitting on the bus listening to my headphones at a podcast that I just downloaded. The story is really still the same, because it draws me in a very personal way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I really love storytelling.
Mm-hmm. And the time in the part of it that is important to you is how that story is conveyed and the art of just delivering that.
Yeah.
That's when it comes and connects to you.
Exactly.
And you feel like part of that story. And I also have this one thing. They say that storytelling is a means of for sharing and interpreting experiences and also educational. And I spoke to someone on this show, and he said, you know what, growing up, we were told you cannot go to the area, which is a wooded area near the area they used to live, because when you go there, something will happen to you that is bad. So they never tried to do that, unless they went there with their parents. And this was just to protect them anyway. It was not a true story, but it was to protect them. So I'm trying to find out, does stories really shape who we are at some point, Fatmata?
Yeah, because I remember, like you referencing that, like they'll tell those scary stories and all, you know, and I had a lot happen to me, and I think some of it is it was told to them, you know, it is to warn. Some of them were warnings, you know, like don't do certain things because this is what happened to such and such and such, and it might be short stories, but that kind of happened to me, and I remember them. It does. It has a very strong impact
on everything you do, right?
On everything I do, and even the way I view my culture.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. so Yeah, so it does have a very strong impact. Okay. And I remember them from, you know, young.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I agree as well. I think that they do have a really big impact on us. But at the same time, and just to go back to my example with my mom, me and my brothers and sisters heard the same stories. We gathered around the same circles, but we're completely different. My older sister is a little more adventurous than I am. I'm very protective of myself and everyone around me.
Oh, really?
Like
a lioness?
Yeah. And you know, growing up, there was a story that we heard a lot of times about basically telling us that we shouldn't open the door at night because there was this monster that came around at night and would knock on your door. Uh-huh. And if you're a kid and you answered the door, that the man would snatch you. And that was my mom's way of saying, you know, don't answer the door at night. Right. Make sure you get me or your dad.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, so even with that story,
yes,
just looking at me and looking at my sisters and my brother and how we react to everyday life, even though we heard that same story, we're both very different in our personalities and in the way that we take risks. Okay. So to answer your question, yes, I do think that stories do have an effect on us and the people that we become. But I think that each person listens to the story and decides differently for themselves.
So it can be shaped in their own way.
Absolutely. It can be shaped in their own way, exactly.
Okay, well said.
Hold it right there. You tune to Let's Talk, a program of Voice America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on the Voice of America.
Thanks, and that's it for our show today, where we lightheartedly explode storytelling. A big thank you to our guest, Freddie Eyali Fellow from Kenya, and of course, a big thank you to my colleague, Ayan, and our friend Fatimata, our guest on the phone. Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. Send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the beep, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be horoscope. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Modu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.
Could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.